Welcome back to Throw the Flag, Coach podcast. And as we're going to proceed during the NFL offseason, I'm really looking forward to the new season starting up in September. But until then, we're going to do a couple of podcasts each month. One's going to be focused on the NFL, and then the second half is going to be focused on other sports. And so we're going to run that and get a chance to get some topics and some questions from you, the listener. So feel free to shoot us an email or catch us on Instagram or Facebook. And we'll try to address some of that. So with that, let's start with one of the things that we'll be doing in the off season is doing a Mount Rushmore of different sports and different positions, just because that's kind of fun, and we'll see if folks agree or not. So to get us started in this, we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of NBA players of all time. So as most of you know, Mount Rushmore has got the top four presidents that are carved out in South Dakota. And so in these Mount Rushmore lists, there'll be the top four in the category. And so today, we're going to be looking at the top four NBA players of all time. Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore, the top of the top in the history of the NBA? And so we're going to get started with, we got four guys who all play different positions. I think that's a good representation of all-time players. And so first we're going to start with, we're going to go in historical order, and we're going to start with Bill Russell. It's kind of hard not to have Wilt Chamberlain because there's a part of the record book that's Wilt and everybody else. He was so dominant. He was so prolific in everything he did. He was a man among boys, and he had all the records. He did all kinds of stuff that nobody can come close to, especially this day and age. But as good as Wilt Chamberlain was, head-to-head, Bill Russell had his number. And whether it was in the finals that Celtics and Russell beat Wilt Chamberlain when he was with the Lakers, when he was with Philadelphia, head-to-head, Wilt couldn't do it. And Bill Russell won 11 championships. The last couple were as a player-manager, but as a player. So he was dominant, and he was dominant defensively. He went up against the big guys like Wilt, and head-to-head, he would take Wilt out. And so I think, you know, there's a reason why the Finals MVP award has been named after Bill Russell. He had 11 titles. He had five regular season MVPs. And the funny thing was, he didn't have any Finals MVP because they only started that in 1969. By then, Russell had already won nine titles, but they named the award after him. So I don't think anybody can get too crazy about the fact that Bill Russell is on there as our center. There's a lot of good options, but I think head and shoulders above all of them, Bill Russell deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore. Then moving into the 80s. I don't think this is going to be too much of a shock. This guy is pretty popular, and he helped resurrect the NBA. Magic Johnson. Magic came in, won as a rookie. And not only did he win a title as a rookie, he won the Finals MVP as a rookie. He won five NBA titles. He won three league MVPs. He won three Finals MVPs. And he could play all five positions on the court. Now, he was a point guard, a 6'9 point guard, which was unheard of. But he had an amazing handle. Passing was unbelievable. I mean, between him and Larry Bird, they were the ones that brought in the no-look pass. He was second all-time in assists to John Stockton when he retired. And prolific scorer, and he could carry the team. And I think when you look at point guards of all time, John Stockton is probably the only one I would consider in the same voice, in the same realm as Magic Johnson. I know Jerry West was really good too. But at the end of the day, what Johnson put together, I don't think anybody could really argue that he was the greatest point guard of all time. And so he definitely belongs on this Mount Rushmore. Then coming out of the 80s and into the 90s, as many consider the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. I don't think there's much that has to be said about why Jordan would be on this Mount Rushmore. But just a couple of reminders. He had six titles. Not only six titles, he was 6-0. Six finals, six titles, six finals MVPs. He had five league MVPs, and I think that was low because they were trying to give it to other people. Because there were years where he was the best scorer, and he was first team all defensive team. So if he's the greatest on offense and the greatest on defense, how is he not MVP? But regardless, he's got five league MVPs, six finals MVPs. I mean, he lit everything up. He changed the game. He exploded the NBA. And when it came down to clutch time, he was the guy, and he would will his teams to win. Jordan, obviously, best shooting guard ever. You know, even scoring, if he had stayed longer, and even if he hadn't deferred as much of the scoring, I mean, even when he retired early, and he was still top five in scoring of all time. If he had stayed longer, he could have caught, you know, it still would have been tough, but he might have been able to catch Kareem for the all-time scoring list. So he's clearly the third on the Mount Rushmore. And then the last one, even though I'm not a big fan of his, you got to give him his due. LeBron James, currently, he's played 21 years. He's playing at an amazing level even now. But if you look, you know, beyond, he's the all-time scoring champ. He caught Kareem. Now, points have gone up and eras do change, but the fact is Kareem's record was so far that for him to catch it, was pretty amazing. He's won four titles. He's won four MVPs. He's won four finals MVPs. He's like top six in assists. No, sorry. He's top five in assists of all time. So he's a great scorer, and he's also one of the best assist men ever. And this guy plays 6'8" from, you know, kind of the guard position, even though technically he's a small forward. He's phenomenal, and his durability, what he's been able to do, you know, the other guys all stayed with the team and they rode with that team and through the ups and downs, and they got them to win. LeBron's been a bit different because he's been bouncing around and picking his teams a bit. But the fact is, day in, day out, year in, year out, he's been showing up and he's won the titles and he's got the legacy. And I don't think you could have a Mount Rushmore of the NBA without LeBron on there. So those are my four for Mount Rushmore. I'd love to hear if you agree or disagree. And if you disagree, who would you have added? But the key is then who would you have taken out? Because Mount Rushmore can only have four. So there's no 4.1 or there's no 4A or B or any of that kind of stuff. But we'd love to hear from you in terms of who you think you would replace on this Mount Rushmore of the NBA. So a few things to talk about just in terms of sports. It's a fun time of year. Everything is going on. The NFL draft just ended, and we'll talk more about that on the next podcast. The NHL is in the midst of the playoffs. And I think just in general, it's, you know, being a lifelong Leaf fan growing up in Toronto, boy, it's a tough pill to swallow. They're on the verge of getting beaten again. And I think they just got to blow this thing up. They need to get rid of the coach. If it's me, I'm going after Joel Quenneville. Quenneville got thrown out of the league because of some issues that happened in Chicago a long time ago. He wasn't directly responsible, but at the same time, he needed to take some accountability, and I think he's paid his due. Quenneville is a good, hard-nosed coach. He's a proven coach. He won three cups with Chicago. Even other teams that haven't won cups, he's instantly made them better, more cohesive as a team. That's the kind of guy I think they need to bring into Toronto, who could stand up to the scrutiny. And then with the core, they got to get rid of Mitch Marner. I think if they can get John Tavares on a good deal to make him a third line center, I think he's the type of guy that would be a great third line center on a cup team. But Marner's got to go. I think they got to get rid of some of these middling pieces, and they need to get some edge, and they need an influx of talent. But this group has to be changed, because it's just not good enough anymore that they're good in the regular season. They're talented. They put up all these points in the regular season, and then they do nothing in the playoffs. And it's not that it's been easy. They've gone up against good teams. But at some point, you've got to break through. I think it would be interesting to see if Stamkos would have the guts to come to Toronto, because he's the type of guy that could bring you some talent, some top-level scoring. He's got Stanley Cup pedigree coming to the hometown. It would be interesting, even though he's older. If you can get him on the right deal, I think he would be great for injecting some scoring. But we'll have to see. But for Toronto fans out there, it's brutal. And to see them giving up, I think, is the hardest part. It's one thing for them to get beaten by the face licker, Brad Marchand and the Boston Bruins. That's one thing. But to see how their effort has been terrible, to see how they've completely mailed it in for a couple of the games, that's really tough to take. And so I think it's time to blow up a good chunk of this core. The other couple of things I see with the NHL playoffs so far is kudos to the Dallas Stars for fighting back. Vegas looked like they were going to sweep them. They took the first two in Dallas. They're one of the hottest teams in the NHL. They're stacked. And then they go home and they lose two. But give Dallas credit. Now it's 2-2 back in Dallas. They got the home ice again. Really tough series. Both teams are really good. Both teams could make it to the final out of the Western Conference. Let's see who bounces each other out in the first round. The Canes are up 3-1. The Rangers have swept. I'm not a huge believer in the Rangers, but they are solid and they've got the goaltending to win it all. Florida just looks so good in the Eastern Conference, and they're probably still the perennial favorite to make it to the Cup Final. In the West, you got a couple of teams that could do it. We'll see what happens, because I think Vegas is one of those teams, and it'll be interesting to see if Vegas even survives round number one. So those are my current takes on the NHL. Moving on to Major League Baseball, there's 6 months of a season, so there's not a lot of takes when it comes to baseball. Baseball is fun to go to. If you get a chance, get out to one of those afternoon games, one of those weekend games. It's so relaxing to be able to catch baseball. Spring and summer are coming, so that's pretty exciting. The only things I've noticed so far is the Chicago White Sox only had 3 wins as of a few days ago, and they were going to break the historical record by far if they stayed on that pace. Now, they've got on a hot streak, so now they've got 6 wins. So now it's 6 wins and 19 losses, so they're pretty bad. The Marlins only have 6 wins, and the Rockies only have 7 wins. So those are 3 teams that could be historically bad this year. And even the Astros, who have been incredibly competitive, who have a very talented roster, I know they've had a couple of injuries. Pitchers have been going down. That's been the big story early in Major League Baseball. But 9-19 for the Houston Astros, that was a shocker. And the only other thing I've noticed is the Dodgers, who had all this airtime and won the offseason and, you know, got Ohtani and got the Yamamoto, and they've loaded up with all their current talent and, you know, double and triple the salaries of, you know, all the other teams. They're only 19-12, and they're in like a super weak division. So like they're the only ones in their division that are over 500. And so I find that surprising for all that money and for all the hype and everything else and all the talent they're supposed to have. They're only 19-12. So again, baseball's a long season. We'll see what happens. Maybe by summer they catch their groove and they start blowing everybody out. But for all that money they spent and for all the hype, pretty sad coming out of the gate. So that's how I see baseball right now. And yes, if you do get a chance to go, try catch a game in the next couple months. And then on the last front around some of the current sports highlights, obviously the NBA is going on. I love the fact that everyone questioned whether OKC was mature enough, or were they going to be upset by a more experienced team? Well, how do you like that sweep? Obviously, the Pelicans lost Zion in the play-in, so that really hurt them. But they swept them, and their point differential, like they were pretty dominant in a couple of those games. And SGA is looking amazing. And this is his coming out party in terms of all around the NBA recognizing that this guy is clutch. He's legit. He's one of the best scoring guards in the entire association, and they're just getting better because OKC is so young. And so love that, and love that it's a small town atmosphere. And wouldn't it be something if the Dallas Mavericks beat the Clippers and it ends up being Dallas OKC? I think that Oklahoma Texas thing, that's a pretty juicy storyline for a second round and can get pretty intense between the teams and the fan bases. So that'd be kind of fun. But kudos to OKC, because a lot of people didn't trust them. And not only did they win, they swept their team. The T-Wolves were probably the most impressive team so far in the first round. They destroyed Phoenix and their quote-unquote big three. That on paper looked like it should be a strong series. And the T-Wolves just took them out. Like, just laid the wood to the Phoenix Suns and sent away Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. The T-Wolves are big. They got probably the best player in the game in Anthony Edwards. They look solid. Their defense is amazing. And they match up well against the defending champs Denver Nuggets, who just knocked out the Lakers, which I'm so happy about. I think Murray doesn't get his due in terms of how clutch he is, especially in the playoffs, and how you can rely on him when 3 guys are on him and he'll still make the winning shot at the end of the game. It's pretty impressive. So that's going to be a fantastic second round matchup between the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is worth watching all 7 games, because that I don't see any team that matches up like that, because they got so many bigs between Nikola Jokic And you got the two big guys in terms of Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. And then you got a bunch of depth on their benches, and you got scoring at the guard positions. That's going to be a great series. And the winner of that series could very well be the one that goes to the finals. So that should be fun. But those three teams were super impressive. I think the other storyline in the NBA has been all the big injuries. Porzingis is down. Celtics will be fine for a couple of rounds, but in the finals, they'll need all hands on deck. And so we'll see what happens with him. But you got Giannis and Lillard, who have pretty much, ended the Bucks season. As long as the Pacers do their job, the Bucks will be gone. Embiid has been a big story. And obviously, Philadelphia has been a big name and lots of talent and very deep. And yet, Embiid's fighting through, but, that's hurting them. So injuries have hurt the big guys and have adjusted. But at the end of the day, as exciting as the play-in is, and you got all these teams involved, the fact is round one has been kind of boring. It shows you that there's a huge separation between the top teams and the bottom teams. I think there's only one series that's two series that are tied 2-2 out of the eight. The rest of them are 3-1 or they're already done in sweeps. So we'll see if the second round, hopefully the second and third rounds will be a lot more competitive, a lot more good basketball. We'll see what happens. But it should be fun to see over the coming weeks who starts to emerge as the top. Personally, I'd love to see the Celtics against the Nuggets. I think that's the matchup that I would love to see. But I think there's just so many juicy storylines, no matter who progresses. And we'll see what the Knicks even are able to do, because they look pretty dominant in their series. And so with that, that's how I see the sports scene right now, as it is in late April. On the tennis front, for those of you who do watch tennis, hoping that Rafael Nadal is able to come back. He's had a tough time getting back on the court for his last ever season. Maybe he makes 25 his last season, because he's still been missing a lot of matches. But the French Open comes up in a few weeks, and if he can't make that, I really hope he reconsiders, gets himself healthy, and comes back in 25, because he's such an amazing competitor, one of the greatest of all time. We'll definitely do a Mount Rushmore of tennis players later on in the offseason. On the tennis front, we're getting close to the French and Wimbledon this time of year. So should be a lot of good tennis, a lot of young up-and-comers who are coming up, especially as the big three are kind of fading into the sunset. We'll see what happens with Djokovic. But you got a lot of young guys like Alcaraz and Sinner who are coming up and who are being now more consistent, even Medvedev being more consistent in some of these tournaments. So tennis is still a lot of fun to watch, a lot of high power action, a lot of competitive matches. So with that, I bid you adieu until the month of May. The first half of the month, we'll get our next broadcast out with the NFL, and we'll talk NFL draft. And we'll talk hopefully about the NFL schedule release, because believe it or not, that's a holiday on my calendar, because Coach here loves to make his plans for next NFL season. And so with that, have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful spring. And look forward to chatting in the next podcast. And don't forget, when you see something going on, throw the flag, Coach, because that's what coaches are supposed to do. Take care, everybody.